This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you would like to contact me, you can do so through regular mail or through my website. And remember, this program can be re-listened to on my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at that scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, which says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." And we are trying to show that to grow in grace, we have to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is to understand something about him. And we're starting with prophecies of the Lord Jesus that were found in the Old Testament and that are fulfilled in the New. And it's interesting that we've mentioned before that many people think that the God of the Old Testament is an angry God. But when we look at the Lord in the New Testament, we constantly come across that word grace. We understand that there were gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. We know that he was full of grace and truth, didn't give up the truth in order to show grace. Grace is a word that has to do with favor. It has to do with gifts. It has to do with something that we do not deserve. But it has to do with an attitude. And generally speaking, in this world, we're not seeing an awfully lot of graciousness in the political scene. But isn't it interesting that God has provided us a hurricane that has shown that people can be gracious? Now, I know that when I preach on this program, I constantly emphasize that we are all sinners. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We know that because we're sinners, we sin. Sin is the fruit of our lives. And it's for that reason that we need to be born again. We need to be saved. And if we are saved, then we should be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But even the unsaved people of this world can show grace. And we've seen that. Now, I don't know how many people down in the Houston area fighting the ravages in the aftermath of Harvey are saved and how many are lost, but it was refreshing to see that the people of the United States came together to help those who were hurting down there in that area. People came with their boats. People risked their lives. They showed a certain amount of the character of the Lord down there. And that's what every Christian should show. And many people likely that have no relationship with the Lord showed that grace. And so when we come to people who are saved who don't show grace, it's a real tragedy, isn't it? And it can happen. And so I am just astounded to see the compassion of humanity and to see a little different aspect of the United States as we came together to try to help the people that were struck with this tragedy. And I know there's going to be people that are going to say, well, why did God allow such a tragedy? Actually, some are going to say, why did God cause such a tragedy? I don't think God ever himself is the author of tragedy, but he does allow it. He knows it's coming, and he uses it for his glory and for our good. In other words, God did not author sin. He did not make Eve sin in the garden, and when we sin, he doesn't make us sin, but he allows it, and he knows we're going to do it, and often he uses that for his glory. And so while this world is in a mess because of sin, we wouldn't have these problems with hurricanes if it wasn't for the fact that even the earth was cursed at the time that Adam and Eve sinned against God. And so while we wouldn't have these problems if Satan hadn't deceived her, yet God in his foresight provided a hurricane that showed us the best of our society. And not only that, he provided us a man who went to Calvary's cross to show us what it means to be gracious without giving up truth. He was willing to die for our sins. And so as we look at some issues in this life, we begin to see that humanity does have some redeeming characteristics, and Christians in particular should have those redeeming characteristics. Sometimes those people who claim to have no relationship with God at all maybe believe that there is no God, and others who say there's a God but don't believe in the God of the Bible, sometimes it seems like they are more gracious than people who say they are born again, and that's a tragedy. But those of us who are saved should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the gracious one was Christ. And that's why I want to look at these prophecies that were given to us in the Old Testament and that are being fulfilled in the New. We looked already at the fact that Messiah would be born of a woman. And we've looked at the fact that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Now, that's an extremely interesting one. You can't interpret that prophecy in any other way, that God would have the Lord born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. We looked at the scripture in Micah, and we all know the story of how Mary and Joseph left Nazareth to come to Bethlehem for a census or a taxing, and that's where the baby was born. The Lord Jesus was born. Now, we've also noted that the Lord was born of a virgin, and people try to get around this by saying the word virgin just means a maid, an unmarried woman. But I think it's quite clear as you look at the context of the prophecies, and if you look at the context of what happened in the New Testament, you either believe God or you don't. And I believe God, and I believe that Mary was a virgin when she conceived the Lord Jesus. Now, I am not one who believes that she was a virgin after she and Joseph got married. She had other children, but she was a virgin when the Lord was conceived. But then we come to the fourth prophecy that we want to look at today, and that prophecy is that Messiah would come from the line of Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, God says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, many people take that to mean that the nations of the earth will be blessed through the nation of Israel, and there's a sense in which that's true. We've seen down through the years that those people who have harbored the Jews have been nations that have been blessed. But the real impact of this scripture is that the blessing to the world is going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to be from the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to be what we term a Jew today. And so when we come to the genealogies, we find out that in Matthew 1, for example, the genealogy is given as the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. We're going to look at that prophecy too, the son of Abraham. So the blessing to the world has come through Christ in particular, and maybe in a more general way, not maybe, but specifically in a more general way, it's come through the fact that the nation of Israel is the nation that God often uses to bless the nations that harbor the Jew. Now, when we come to our prophecies today, we've already mentioned that Messiah would be from the line of Abraham, but he's also a descendant of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so when we begin to look at that prophecy, that's an important prophecy, because there are those in the world today who think that the promises came through Ishmael, who was a descendant of a bondwoman that Sarah had, and it was a child that was born when Abraham and Sarah were trying to help God fulfill his promise to give them a child. And so there is Ishmael, and there is Isaac. But the Lord says unto Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing." Genesis 21 and verse 12. "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." And if you look at this whole passage, there had become contention in the family over the fact that Ishmael had been born of Hagar, and Sarah wanted to send her away, and the Lord said, go ahead and do that. Your descendant, the descendant that is going to, your promises are going to come through Isaac, that promised son. So it is in Isaac that his seed would be called. So Messiah would also be a descendant of Jacob. And it's interesting that one of the prophecies that deals with this has to do with a man by the name of Balaam, who was used to try to destroy Israel when they were coming into the land. And he says, I see him. Balaam says, I see him, but not now, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter or a ruler shall arise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. Now, Balaam is an interesting case because he prophesied for money, and we could argue that the man wasn't even saved, even though he had insight into the programs of God. And this is what bothers me. There's so many people today that know a lot about God and get messages that are godly, and yet they themselves seemingly do not embrace the truth. And that was the case with Balaam. I'm not going to spend time on Balaam today, but we know there are people like that in the world today. You don't know whether they're really saved or whether they aren't, but at the end of the day, they have done more to destroy the work of God than to help it, even though they got real messages from God. Now, when we look at that prophecy came true that Balaam gave. And so the Lord was out of the tribe of Jacob, or a descendant of Jacob. A star shall arise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And ultimately, Balaam knew that ruler would destroy Moab and those who were opposed to Israel. Moab and Ammon and the Midianites, they were always enemies of the Israelites. So in Matthew 1, Abraham begat Jacob, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brothers, and we're going through, again, the lineage of the Lord Jesus. The seventh thing we're going to look at here is that Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah, and that's kind of interesting because in my mind I would have thought he would have come either from the firstborn, Reuben, who ended up being set aside because of sin in his life, or he would have come from Levi, the tribe that was used as the priestly tribe, but no, in Genesis 49 and verse 10 it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And there's some question as to how to translate Shiloh, but it's quite clear it's a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. So as we begin to look at these prophecies, it gives us reason to have confidence in the Lord Jesus, and those of us that are saved should want to grow in the grace that the Lord Jesus displayed. And those of you that are not clear that you're saved, you need to accept the grace, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'll bless our lesson today and bless those who have listened. We thank you for your salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.